Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful that we can just come boldly into your presence, clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, our Savior. And we just thank you. So we want you to hear our grateful hearts, because you tell us to be a grateful people. You tell us to be a thankful people, and we are thankful, Lord. So hear our grateful hearts. Thank you for bringing everybody here. Cleanse each and every one of us now by the shed blood of Jesus. Let no unclean thing be drawn nigh into this place. Be glorified in your house, we pray, and be blessed by the praise of your people. In Jesus' name we boldly come. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Today is Mother's Day. How could we not know? So, and we, all of us who are not moms, want to wish you all who are moms a happy Mother's Day. And since it's Mother's Day, I just felt the Lord leading me to bring a message of honor to all of our mothers, our own mothers, and all to those who were here, our mothers, as well. And we know that honoring our mothers is a commandment of God. It's the fifth commandment, as is given to us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. In the NIV, it reads, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." So, Ken, would you pray over me for the word of God and for the message today, please?
Abba, Yehovah, what a blessing it is, O Lord, to come and worship you and join with the family of God, Lord, to come to your house as we have visited many houses, Lord, by these great pictures that Pastor has brought to us, Lord, the perfect house that we want to come to. Lord, is built not with human hands.
That's
it's
right.
Not built by stone, Lord, but it is built as a temple to you, Father. And its foundations are laid upon your word, O Lord. And so we come now to the foundation of this beautiful house, Lord, that you have built, this church of Christ, this family of Christ, Lord, to come to you, Lord, laying the foundation again by your word and enjoying the things that you have for us, Heavenly Father. We empty ourselves and we just open ourselves up to hear what you have for us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through the pastor and give everyone ears to listen. Lord, give everyone a hunger and a thirst for your word, Heavenly Father, Lord. And what a joy and a privilege, Yehovah, it is to come to you in the name of Jesus, O Lord, and just bask in your loving mercy, Lord, as you have put a family together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, O Lord.
Thank you.
What a great day it is to celebrate all the parts that you are, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This promise is clarified by us, by Paul, where he writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." So why do you suppose this commandment was given and joined with a promise? Well, I want you to think about the relationship that a mother has with her child. And we see Precious Bailey being passed around to all these moms because they'll be living that wonderful time. For a great number of years of a child's life, the mother stands in the place of God, in the sense that when we are young, we don't have any real understanding of God. Our mothers were God to us. So to disobey the lawful commands of one's mother is likening unto disobeying God himself. The child's mind doesn't understand that, but they understand obedience. Rebellious behavior towards your mother is rebellion against God. These are things that we need to know as we get a little older. But we learn to obey God by first obeying our mothers, and of course our fathers as well. But today is Mother's Day. Also, as God requires parents, and especially mothers, to care for, to provide for, to nourish, to defend, to instruct the children, he graciously gives to them. The same is actually expected of the children by his or her parents when they grow old and they are in need of care. And sometimes they need the same care that they used to care for their children. Because as we get old, sometimes we really need a lot of care. So we honor our mothers in obedience to our Lord. And when we are obedient to our Lord, we are showing him that we truly love him. And we truly honor God when we honor our mothers. And another great gift that God has given mothers is the innate ability just to love unconditionally, to love without ceasing. The Word of God actually uses a mother's love as an example of God's own love for us. We read in Isaiah 66, verse 13, where God says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem." So here God is promising to comfort his own people just as a mother comforts his own child, her own child. So think, how great is it to have the Lord our God use a mother's comfort as an example of his care for us? God is showing us that in a mother's love, we actually see the very love of God. What an honor it is to be that very face of God, that very love of God to your children. And not just to your children only, but to your husbands, to your extended family, to your friends, to others, and even to your own children much later on when they're no longer children anymore. You still love them. I get chastised sometimes by especially Miss Dolly when I call Rachel baby Rachel. She's going to be 35 here pretty soon, but she's still my baby. And all you moms can get that. Some of us guys get it too. And how many times have we heard expressions of a mother's love, even in our own culture? Well, that's a face that only a mother could love. Yeah. Right? Well, that's a child that only a mother could love. And sometimes these statements are meant in jest or even to be cruel, but they are really based on a great truth. Mothers love from their hearts and with their hearts, and not from what they see, or even what they must sometimes endure. And is that not just a wonderful glimpse of God's great, unwavering, unconditional love for each and every one of us? As much as a mother loves, God loves 10 times, 100 times more. But a mother's love gives us a little glimpse here in this flesh and in this body of that love that God has for us. We can see it, and we can feel it. And so, we honor our mothers because they show us the true love of God in a way that we can actually touch it, we can feel it, and we can believe, perhaps, that God's love is real. I just think what an honored position God has given to all you mothers. And what an awesome role. Now, I've learned to cherish, you know, all the women in my life, the mom and the grandmas, Julia, now, of course, my precious baby girl, and how they have modeled the heart of God to me and to others. And, of course, we've seen it really vividly with Rachel because before baby and after baby are two different things. Right, Ashley? Before baby, after baby is two different things. And I just love to see that wonderful person we're seeing growing up, and then that mother's heart gets developed when they start having children or caring for children. It's just a wonderful thing. And I pray that you praise God, as we praise God for you, that you praise God for your roles and the impact you have had on so, so many people. Praise God for how he elevated you to honor in the sight of thousands of years ago in his sight, when all around the world, men living without the living God in their hearts did not honor women at all. Women were property. Women were slaves. I was just hearing another message today that was putting that in place even in the Jewish world. And I talked about it some weeks back about when Jesus made that comment about how the Holy Spirit went elsewhere. It went to women and it went to Gentiles. And there's nothing worse than women, Gentiles, and animals in the Jewish world. Even women were respected in the Jewish world. But God has elevated them. And we still see that kind of persecution, that terrible treatment today in those same settings of people, men, without the living God in their hearts. But God has set you all apart, made you special, made you unique. You know, I often preach about loving God and loving others, and that we do that by following Jesus' example, and especially by his examples that are provided for us through the Gospels. We read the Gospels and we do what Jesus says to do. We do what Jesus did. And Jesus gives us a great example of honoring mothers in John chapter 19. Starting with verse 25, it reads, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother." Can you imagine that, moms? Looking at your son on that cross. Stood Jesus near the cross stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And verse 27, from that time on, this disciple took her into his house. Here Jesus is dying on the cross, and before he dies, he makes certain that his mother is cared for on this earth for the rest of her days. And he tells his disciple, John, "Here is your mother," so that Mary would not be left alone. He's the oldest son. Oldest son is gone. He wanted to make sure she was cared for. And the word does say that John took her into her home from that time on. What a great example for all of us, though. And so let us honor our mothers today in our hearts and in our prayers, in our actions. Can't just be what we say, it's got to be what we do. We set aside this one day to give special honor to mothers, but let us also be reminded to honor our mothers every day. Every day, to praise God for them, to pray for them, to thank them out loud with actions, to show our appreciation for them and to love them. But I also have a special word for you, moms. There's the story of Hannah praying for a child, as told in 1 Samuel 1. She's married to Elkanah, her husband, but she has no children. Her husband, Elkanah, took a second wife, which was common and permissible in those days, and the second wife had children. It was very important then to be able to give your husband children, and women who could not bear children were looked down upon by many, scorned in some cases. And it is most likely that this second wife, who does not have a name in the word that I could find, was taken because Hannah did not bear children as soon as had hoped. But it's also interesting to note, in this case and pretty much every other case in the Bible where a man has more than one wife, there's strife in the home. And there is strife between these two. In 1 Samuel 1:7, it says, "And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb." And of course, we know the story of Abraham and Sarah. Bearing children was very important so that the family would have heirs to their land, God's gift to them, their possessions, and so that the family lineage would be carried on. And also, there was always that thought that perhaps and maybe hoped that the Messiah would come from them, from their very line, maybe from this one woman's womb. So Hannah prayed to God for the blessing of a child, specifically a son, in 1 Samuel 1:10 through 11. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." The Lord heard her prayer and gave her a son, and she named him Samuel. She gave him back to the Lord after he was weaned, just as she had promised, and placed him in the care of Eli, the priest of God at that time. And he did become a great prophet for the Lord and the last judge before King Saul. So after placing little Samuel in Eli's care, we read on in 1 Samuel 2, but Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. I love the pictures that God paints. A boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. What a precious picture. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, Hannah, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." Just love this story. She prayed and prayed. She got what she prayed for. And then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters afterward. So what's the point of this story? I believe there's 2 points that I like to bring out. First, through God giving Hannah Samuel, he proves, and Hannah testifies, that God hears and he answers prayer. So let us never forget that God is listening and he cares for our every single need and our every single problem. And he will answer your prayer in his perfect time, but not necessarily in our desired time. But in the case of Kay, it came in your desired time. You wanted it, and the very next day. Let us stand on these wonderful opportunities that God shows us. He hears. Secondly, who or what is responsible for the conception of a child? Is it 2 people? Does it just happen? Is it all by chance? No. God is the one who is responsible for conception, and we see it here with Hannah, and we've seen it with Abraham and Sarah, and we've seen it with others. To bear a child is a great gift of God, a gift of life, new life. And each one of you have received that wonderful blessing from God himself. And so to the men here today, be grateful to God for the women that God has put into your life, for the moms, what they've given to you, what they've taught you. I mean, for us, in our, my bride is a mother to my children. Wow. Honor that. And so I ask all of us men to pray for these women in our lives, for God's guidance, for God's blessings to be poured out upon them. And to all of you who are moms, mothers, praise God for the gifts he's given you. Praise God for the roles he has given you. You model the love of God, the very heart of God to so many. No, your children especially, first perhaps, but to many, many others as well. And pray that he will continue to allow you to serve him by modeling his very heart to all who come in contact with. Everyone you meet, let them see, wow, the love of God in your face, in your words, in your actions. Pray for his guidance in every opportunity to love and to serve God and to be eager and willing to represent him and his love to the whole world all around you, where you live and breathe and move. Be that representation of God's love. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Lord, let's hear our prayer. Let us honor the mothers of our community, our own personal mothers, our precious brides, sisters, aunts, uncles, all that. Oh, how we thank you. And Lord, we know it's not always easy. And we know some of the children you give us are not always easy. But oh Lord, when we draw back a bit, pull back, and just look at the bigger piece, oh, what an honor it is. And let us, who are not moms, understand what an honor that is, and to do whatever we can to bless them, to make it better, easier for them if that's necessary, but to love them. To love them. You tell us, as men in Ephesians, that we are to love our wives. Because it's just not natural, necessary for men to be that loving. But you command us. Love your wife as Christ loves the church. Think about that, men. And let us be found faithful to that. And all you moms, even when it's hard, understand what an honor and a privilege it is that God has given to you. Hear our prayer, Lord. Amen.